The crowd cheered. Welcome, everybody, to the Green Divas Radio Show. You're on with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lynn.
Yay, calling in from Chicagoland, where it's a bit snowy today, huh?
It's very snowy, but I am happy because I'm sitting under my full spectrum light, so I kind of feel like I'm at the beach.
Not bad, yeah. Like, you know, near a fireplace or a heater in a full spectrum light. And,
right.
You know, we can imagine almost anything. We're creative, Green Divas.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, that's. I think we're going to get your snow for Thanksgiving, which when people hear this, if they hear it right away, will be in a day or so, right?
Yes, it's very lovely.
It is. So, you
know, glad we're not in Hawaii.
Well, exactly, but we'll go back.
But I'm grateful to have a roof over my head.
See? So it's all about gratitude. And, of course, this week of Thanksgiving, you know, that gratitude word gets bantied around quite a bit. And I am grateful. Because it seems to be a theme, I've been thinking about how many things I'm grateful for. And, of course, I'm very, very grateful for Green Diva Lynn.
I'm grateful for Green Diva Meg.
Yeah, well,
and also for myself, I guess.
Well, we're quite a team, and we're building. We're building this thing, but it feels great to be working with somebody that I really love and admire, and we work well together. So there you have it, people.
We're two green peas in a pod.
Well, and we've got some really exciting things coming up, including.
I know.
Well, we'll get to that. Let's let them. You just sit. You're just going to have to listen to this whole opening, people. That's all. We have
on the edge of your seat.
The edge of your seat. It's a cliffhanger. Glenn did a great My Earth 360 for this show, which is really a call to action, and it's very clear and powerful. So you're going to want to listen to that, all about the clean energy plan, right?
Clean power plan.
Now, see, I knew I would screw that up. Darn it.
That's okay.
Darn it. That's why we have you.
That's right.
Okay. But we have a fabulous DIY, because as these holidays ramp up, of course, either we're hosting or we're going out and visiting our friends and family. Mm-hmm. And my mama always taught me, don't go empty-handed. So she had some great ideas for really easy, low stress, but very thoughtful hostess gifts.
Great. Well, I can't wait to hear that.
You know, and it appealed to me because she said, you know, when you want to get creative and not bring a bottle of wine. And mm-hmm. I thought, you know, hey, I don't drink and I'm just not bringing wine.
Right.
So I'm always up for that. And needless to say, I'm inviting her to my house maybe a couple times this holiday season.
Oh, that's good.
Get it? Because I want her to bring some of these cool gifts.
I get it. Sorry, I don't know. I think I have snow on the brain.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. No, you're under your lamp, man. You're on the beach.
Yes.
You're on the beach. Then our friend Kate Bartolotta from BU Media Group.
She's so wonderful.
She is wonderful. We haven't talked to her in a while. She did a health and beauty segment about strategies for kind of sticking to your healthy diet. Again, as we go out to family and friends and all these wonderful festivities,
mm-hmm.
it's easy to either get sucked into eating things that maybe aren't great for us, or maybe you don't want to open your mouth and say, you know, hey, man, do you have anything vegan or gluten-free?
Right. There's a lot of peer pressure. Oh, you should just have a piece of this.
Yeah.
Just try the piece of pie.
It's true.
Why don't you want a piece of the pie?
Oh,
especially
yeah.
Especially if you belong to the Italian family.
I know, right? And I love them all, but like, oh, man, it can be relentless. So she has some wonderful strategies and suggestions, and I believe she might even give us a recipe on the post that goes along with that.
Excellent.
Now, I think we need to talk. Oh, wait a minute. No, our feature. Our feature.
Yeah, we need to talk about our feature.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. Robin O'Brien, who
love Robin O'Brien,
beautiful Robin O'Brien. She is such a dynamo out there, really kicking some butt for food awareness. And she's just got an amazing background and the things that she's doing now. She's got the Allergy Kids Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, she's a former food industry analyst. she was one of these sort of high achiever corporate girls mm-hmm. that went, wait a minute, what am I doing?
And she wrote a book, The Unhealthy Truth, How Food is Making Us Sick and What We Can Do About It, which
really so, is, you know, she knew too much. She knew too much and right. really kind
of. We all need to know too much.
Hit her that, like, wait a minute. So she's got a lot to share, and we have a really great conversation. So I'm hoping you definitely want to stay tuned for that feature.
Absolutely.
Now, let's move on to other exciting news, which we can hardly contain.
I know. It's just bursting out of me.
Maybe at this juncture.
I want to tell the world.
Maybe we should drop in our you know, the actual GDGD Radio Network ID right here. You're listening to the Green Divas Global Digital Radio Network, GDGD Radio. We host the best shows on Earth that offer a variety of perspectives on what it means to live a conscious lifestyle. It's all about being more aware of our impact on the planet and each other, but keeping a sense of humor and style while doing it. You can catch most of our shows as podcasts and listen anytime on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, or Swell Radio. Please visit thegreendivas.com to see the ever-changing schedule of streaming shows and learn even more low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. Now that you've heard the ID, you know that this is a big freaking deal. And it's running now. It's running right now.
It's the first global digital radio network dedicated to green and healthy living. First ever on the planet.
I have such a hard time saying that and getting it all in the right order. You did good. We've got it fully programmed 24/7, and we are updating shows every week. And now we have Mike Novak. He is on every day from 2 to 4 Eastern Time. And you can see the schedule if you go to our GDGD Radio page. You
Just
can listen.
Click on GDGD Radio on the homepage.
Exactly. And you can see the schedule and listen right from there. We're also streaming from TuneIn, which is huge distribution and a lot of fun for us. And we're going to have an app probably in the next week or two.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, and we've already tested the app, and it's just so freaking exciting.
We're going to have a crowdfunding campaign, which we hope that everybody will check out when it launches, which should be, if all goes well,
December 1st or 2nd. Mm-hmm. And before we do that, I wanted to mention some of the other shows that are that we're presently working on getting loaded in, because it's a little bit of a process for us to figure all this out on the back end. But
especially for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I'm on a learning curve here with our new platform. But we've got Mariel Hemingway's show coming. She does a podcast with Bobby called mm-hmm. Running with Nature. That is a lot of fun. They interview some interesting people, and they've got such a refreshing attitude. It's a lot
They're really fun to listen to.
Aren't they?
Their banter back and forth.
It's adorable, those two. Mm-hmm. And
great information.
Green, Mrs. Green's World. I'm working with them today to get them loaded in.
Can't wait.
And we're going to talk to, I think we're going to have Yale Climate Connections,
mm-hmm.
which is, they do a 90-minute thing that we're going to be loading in, and you'll hear that throughout the day in our programming on GDGD Radio. And I think we're going
to... Did you mean 90 seconds?
90, what did I say, 90 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah, it's like take up the whole day, you know.
No.
90 seconds.
Well, some people will hopefully be listening all day as they just go about their day.
And Bill Curtis, Bill Curtis, it will be sharing his Earth Matters with us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and more. And we have even more. Like, we are really...
And GVK.
And Good Vibrations with Kristen, of course, which is part of our, you know, I don't mean to forget. It's that she's part of our network already. So we are thrilled to be, you know, she's already on there streaming.
One inspirational show.
1 o'clock every day. Anyway, so what we're feeling is like we're looking for the best shows in the green and healthy living arena, and we're getting them. And not only, you know, like we're so thrilled that
everybody's been really excited about the idea.
Enthusiasm is big. So the reason we're doing the crowdfunding is we need some help, you know, getting our platform together and designing a site that's much easier and you know, kind of easier to look through and everything. And what else? What am I? Anyway, so we really need you. We really need your support. And
we're going to be grateful in advance.
Yeah, yeah.
For support.
Put a little gratitude in advance out there.
We couldn't be here without you people.
That's true.
Without our listeners.
Without further ado, let's also mention now, before we launch into this fabulous show, that buygreen.com is a wonderful place to go. It's your trusted source for green living products, whether it's home or office. And you can go right from our website, right, Lynn?
Yes, at thegreendivas.com, and that's thegreendivas.com/marketplace. And their banner is right in there. You just click on it, boom, you're in.
And shop away. Great stuff for holidays. Very thoughtful.
Yeah, especially now with the holidays. Green gifts for the holidays.
Yeah, people. So stay tuned, listen to the show, and have a wonderful, wonderful holiday week. And let us know what's going on. I just want to encourage people to interact, right?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye. Stay tuned. Overwhelmed by environmental news? Listen to the Green Divas My Earth 360 Report for the latest eco news bits from around the globe. Carefully curated and born by our need to say WTF. But we also love to share encouraging stories and, of course, ways that you can make your voice count for the Earth. It's not just my Earth, it's our Earth. And together, we can make a difference. This segment is sponsored by TerraPass. Clear the air with carbon offsets at TerraPass.com. Yay! Another My Earth 360 report from Green Diva Lynn. Hi, Lynn. So,
how are you?
I'm great. I am, you know, getting ready for the holiday, being all grateful and all that.
I am too.
Yay.
I don't have to do much, though. I'm going to my brother's, so.
Well, that kind of is handy.
And it's on Saturday, so we're just going to hang on Thanksgiving.
That sounds like fun. Yeah, we're doing everything here. Oh, boy. So, you know, that's all right. So tell us what's going on in My Earth 360 this week.
Well, there's something that I hope everybody can take action on, and that's the Clean Power Plan.
Okay.
Right now, we have no national limits on carbon pollution from power plants. Zero.
Oh, my. That's not good.
I know. And it's crazy because they're the biggest single source of CO2 emission. They emit approximately 40% of the CO2 from fossil fuel combustion in the U.S.
Oh, my. Wow.
So,
yeah.
It's and time. In case you don't know what a power plant is, it's a fossil fuel-fired electric generating unit.
Wow.
The official.
That's the official term?
Yes. So the Clean Power Plan, what they're trying to do is cut carbon pollution from across all of the U.S. at existing power plants to 30% below 2005 levels by 2030.
Okay. Now, does this have anything to do with the Beyond Coal campaign?
Well, they're certainly, by shutting down power plants, they're definitely helping a lot because that's a huge portion of the CO2 emission.
Right, right.
Especially if they're dirty coal plants.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's not like we should replace coal plants with natural gas. It's really got to be, hopefully, more of a movement toward renewables.
Yes. Yes.
Because natural gas burns cleaner, but there's a lot of there's a lot of carbon involved in extraction, processing,
well,
transportation.
It's a fracking nightmare.
It is. So we got to be looking at the renewables.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So that is happening, and the comment period will close They're accepting comments through December 1st. You can go straight to, the government website, which I'll have a link to, or through Moms Clean Air Force.
Okay.
Because they're all about, clean air.
Yeah.
And carbon pollution is, it's bad for the environment. It's bad for us. The majority of climate scientists say that it also is detrimental to climate change. So it's something that we should take action on.
Yeah,
it's something that's easy to do. I'll give you a click, boom, you go in, put your name in, a couple other, key points of information, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I think it'd be good if you're like us and you do care about climate change and are concerned about the level of CO2 that are, especially from all these electric plants or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then now's your chance to speak up and be heard and make a difference.
Absolutely.
Because we can make a difference, and we learned that from the Beyond Coal campaign. Marianne Hitt is making a huge impact with her, her organization through Sierra Club, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Dominique Browning will be on the show in the coming months, and she's behind Moms Clean Air Force.
Oh, good.
And she wrote a beautiful letter, which is what I'm going to post to our website, and it's about moms supporting the clean power plan and why.
Good. And I really love her. I'm really excited we're finally going to get a chance to have her on the show.
I know.
Yay. Good job, Green Diva Lynn. Anything?
And yeah, I kept it short today because the holidays are coming and just, quick and simple today.
Well, it's really very powerful. So I think everybody needs to pay attention to the clean energy plan. Get your voice in there. Let your voice be heard.
Your voice counts.
Yay! Thanks, Green Diva Lynn.
All right, thank you.
This segment has been sponsored by TerraPass. Remember to get your carbon offsets at TerraPass.com. Get all the details from this Green Diva's My Earth 360 report and lots more on TheGreenDivas.com. That's T-H-E. GreenDivas.com and MyEarth360.com. Wait, don't throw that away. Green Divas love to repurpose, upcycle, and reclaim, and keep lots of useful items from going to the landfill. Give it a new life, or just get creative with easy-peasy Green Diva DIY projects. Yeah, it's been a while since we've done DIY or talked to our favorite greenie DIYer, Lee Garofalo, who is the founder and publisher of greenforyou.com. And I think that's green4you.com, correct? Or
letter U.
Letter U. green4u.com.
Yep.
And so we thought it was a great time to talk to Lee about some ideas for the holidays. And she is the queen of simplicity, but really thoughtful stuff. So what are we talking about today?
Well, I want to talk about hostess gifts to bring for the holidays that isn't a bottle of wine, because I just don't think everyone wants a bottle of wine when you come to their house.
It's brilliant because I don't drink and I just don't bring alcohol to people. And, my mommy always taught me, you never go empty-handed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have some great ideas of things you can take that are not things that you wouldn't want.
Right. Okay, good. I like that.
So one of the first things that I think is great actually is something that your host will use the next day. And there's two ideas. One is to bring homemade muffins or bagels or something for your host and hostess for breakfast.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
Because after hosting a whole night of friends and family, you wake up in the morning, your house is still a mess. You really don't want to make yourself breakfast. So I think one of the really thoughtful gifts you can give somebody is, breakfast.
Oh, what a great idea. That is thoughtful. Okay. Check. I love it. I'm inviting you, by the way, to my next party.
Okay. I look forward to it. Another good thing along the same lines is also a gift certificate to maybe your host's favorite lunch place, because maybe they're late sleepers, maybe breakfast isn't the thing, but they probably still don't want to cook when it comes to lunchtime, so a gift certificate is also a great thing for them to get out of the house and not have to look at the mess.
Yeah, all right.
If you have a SodaStream, you can bring some great gifts for your host. You can make some homemade soda with some fresh fruit juice in it. Other guests who maybe don't drink would love it, and guests who do drink can throw a little vodka in it, and it's something different.
And you can buy like
glass bottles to put it in. And,
exactly.
And make it pretty.
That's what I was just thinking. You can buy, there's some wonderful reusable glass bottles out there.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be an expensive present, but everyone will enjoy it.
Well, there's a reason to have a soda stream. I don't have one because we just don't drink soda, but I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. If you want to bring some food for the actual event, but you don't know what's being served, go to a local cheese store or even a Whole Foods. Most of them have big cheese sections and put together a little cheese platter.
Yeah.
They can put it out if they want to. If they don't want to, they can enjoy it later. It's not something that's going to go bad or take up a lot of room in the refrigerator. So it's not a big imposition to bring it.
Oh, you can't go wrong with good cheese, right?
Yep, exactly.
And you should bring some crackers as well, because you never know, they might not have any.
Absolutely. Cloth napkins are another good one, especially if you have a green friend. They can always use more cloth napkins.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to a dinner party or even a holiday like Thanksgiving or Christmas and you know how many people are coming, bring enough cloth napkins for everybody and they can put it out on the table. And you can do this not just going to a store and buying it. You can keep this in your mind all year round. You can get them at garage sales and vintage stores and get some really great stuff. And, you know, if you know your friend, you'll know what they might like.
Right. What colors might work or what patterns or...
Whether they need to match or not match.
I am one of those people that would so welcome that, because I have, you know, we use cloth napkins here and I have a kind of cool mix and match, you know, collection, and I'm always open to new ones.
Yep.
So, yeah, you can come to my house with cloth napkins and gift certificate. That'd be cool.
And then my last recommendation is a non-smelly houseplant. Now, paper whites are very popular this time of year.
Yeah.
They're the white flowers, but they're actually quite smelly, and many people are allergic to them. So they smile and thank you when you come to the house, but then want to put it outside as soon as they can because it smells too much. So, if you go to the Green Divas website and you get at the post that I put up there, I'm going to give you a couple of different kinds of plants that you can pick up that don't smell and are very, very easy to take care of.
Oh, excellent. That's a nice idea. You're right, because some plants are high maintenance, and you're like, oh, my God, like I got an orchid, and what the hell do I do with it?
Yeah, you got to go online and figure out how to water it and take care of it. So.
Yeah. Wow. Well, these are all really good, and I'm sure there'll be, you know, even more details in the post. You're great at that. She's a wonderful blogger extraordinaire. So thank you, Lee, and I think we're going to talk to you again throughout the season to get some more ideas for easy DIYs.
Definitely. I love the holidays.
Aw. Well, thank you for calling, and we'll talk again soon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
To get an easy-to-follow tutorial on how to do this fun Green Diva DIY project and many others, go to thegreendivas.com. That's thegreendivas.com. And remember, buy less, make more, and buy local whenever possible. Vibrant health and beauty radiates from the inside out. Get your glow on with Green Diva's health and beauty tips, from natural skincare to creating healthier habits that make us sparkle.
Well, I'm so happy to be talking again to Kate Bartolotta, the founder of BU Media Group And she is just such an inspiring and brilliant green diva. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Meg. Thanks.
And so today, I think we're all gearing up for this holiday season. And you had some thoughts about how we can stay healthier with all of the things out there that may pull us away from some of our healthier eating habits, if you will, or whatever. So, yeah, tell us.
Well, how? I think it's tricky because we, you know, a big focus of most of the holiday meals and holiday gatherings is that they're a really special social time. But a lot of times, if there are those of us who are either vegan or vegetarian or have food allergies, you know, are gluten-free or on a special diet, it can be a big source of anxiety then, especially when you're not the host. If
right.
you're going into someone's home,
right.
then, you know, there's that fine line of, I want to eat what's going to, you know, make me feel best either ethically or health-wise, but I don't want to be this obnoxious guest either. So I've kind of put together a couple tips, a couple do's and don'ts for when you're going to be a guest in someone's home over the holidays and you have some specific dietary needs.
Okay, good. Yeah, because like I'm gluten-free and I try not to be that problem child at somebody's home.
They're exactly.
like, oh my God, you can't eat gluten. I usually either bring something. Well, anyway, I'll let you describe what you recommend.
That's exactly it. You know, one of the things that I had on down there was to bring something that you can eat to share.
Right.
It's a great way. It takes a little bit of the anxiety out of for me, I'm gluten-free as well. I have celiac. So it's you know, for some people, if,
right.
if they're on a diet for weight loss or something like that, they might
right.
just choose to relax it around the holidays. But if you have a food allergy,
right.
Then you might, you know, relaxing that might mean being sick. So bringing something that you know you can eat to share with others is great. And it also, I think, especially for someone, you know, who is vegan or some, you know, with some of these things that seem like alternative ways
right.
of eating, it kind of makes it seem a little less weird to the people you're with.
Yes, yes.
You know, because a lot of times people say, well, what can you eat? And it this kind of, you know, explains that a little bit. There are great things that you can eat.
Well, and then, like, I always feel like, well, no matter what happens, at least I know I'll have something that I enjoy
yeah.
that I can
yeah.
eat. And usually there's other things. And I always find that sometimes it's an opportunity to introduce someone to a delicious vegan dish
absolutely.
Or something, because I also try to eat. Someone had a term the other day that I loved, and it was a chigan or something. Because
I always go with vegan-ish.
Yeah.
Because I have two chickens, so I eat eggs, and I eat dairy from time to time, but
yeah.
it doesn't really agree with me. So I'm,
yeah.
You know, vegan-ish.
Yeah, that's sort of like me. I don't, anyway, so, but it's an opportunity to turn someone on to like a really cool,
yeah.
delicious, like I make my cashew sour cream, and sometimes I'll make a dip.
Oh, yeah.
A dip with that, and people are like, what? That's, what? Are you kidding? And they
right.
love it, you know.
And so this kind of is on the flip side of that. Don't make a big fuss or speech about what you can and cannot eat to everyone
right.
who's present.
Right.
I would say, especially if this is a choice issue, like it is, you know, with being a vegan or being a vegetarian, a social gathering, if you're not asked, is really not the time to proselytize about either, you know, being vegetarian or if you're on a, you know, a lot of people now are into like paleo diet or this, you know,
right.
different health related diets. It's really not the time, you know, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Like it's not the way to connect with your family and friends.
Exactly.
There are plenty of other, if somebody asks, sure.
Right.
But really, you know, that's not the way to go.
Well,
I would say, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, but the way I do it is I just don't even tell them usually
exactly.
that it is special in any way. And then they're usually stunned. They're like, wow, I didn't
right.
know that food could taste so good.
Right.
And that's kind of fun. It's kind of like a little bonus.
Yeah. But it is worth discussing at least with the hosts ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, because I like hosting, and I hate being in that situation of, you know, not knowing if someone has a food allergy or something like that. And, you know, all hosts and hostesses want to make their guests feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So if there's things that you truly cannot eat or, you know, would feel very uncomfortable eating, it's great to touch in with the host.
Yeah.
And say, hey, what's in these different dishes? so that you can ask rather than, you know, being ill or finding out after the fact.
Yeah, and most, because I love to host as well and feed people, and I'm happy to hear if someone, you know, can't do something specific to make sure that I identify things properly or and make sure that they have something to eat, you know.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Unless, of course, and, I was just going to say, then there's family, which is like a whole nother dynamic, right?
Well, I think both of those hold true with family, too, that, you know, it's not the time to give your family the whole speech of how they should be eating differently.
It never is the time.
I think it's great to, no, it never is. It really isn't. How other people choose to eat is generally not any of our business. But like you said, it's a great way to bring something that's delicious that would be kind of unexpected. You know, I've been, before I took that step of bringing things with me, I've been to gatherings where all I could eat was like salad, you know,
and
sometimes not even that if they throw, you know, croutons or whatever.
Yeah.
So both for family gatherings and for friend gatherings, I think it's a great thing to, you know, to touch in a little bit with whoever is hosting and find out what's being served, what you'll be able to eat, and then to offer to bring something.
Well, and so folks should check out thegreendivas.com. Kate always does beautiful posts for us. And I know you'll have a recipe and some more really clear suggestions. But this has really been excellent and a good reminder because we are all visiting or hosting during the holidays. And it should be a wonderful time, not a stressful time of, oh, my gosh, I what am I going to do? What am I going to eat? Am I going to get sick? You know.
Exactly.
And
I, above all, oh, at the end there, you know, I think just thanking the host, regardless of, you know, how it works out and what they are able to do, what they're able to provide, just making that effort to be thankful for whatever efforts they do make.
Right. And while, you know, for some of us, it always seems like it's all about the food, but really it's all about the gathering and the community and feeling, you know, excited to see and be with everybody, right?
Exactly.
The holiday spirit. Thank you, Kate. It's always great to talk to you. Check out the BU Media Group?
It's BU Media Group.
Thank you. And everybody should check that out. Thanks, Kate. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Meg. Bye-bye.
Are you sparkling yet? Well, you will be. For information on this segment and lots of other healthy, green living information, visit thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. Give the gift of less carbon pollution this year. A carbon offset represents the reduction of 1 metric ton of carbon dioxide emissions. TerraPass offers carbon offset gift packages that include a unique gift with each purchase. Ideal for environmentalists, travelers, or just those hard-to-shop-for people. Go to TerraPass.com/holiday to feel great about your gift-giving this year.
Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people, who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Well, I am really happy today to finally be speaking with Robin O'Brien, who, if you haven't heard of her, you've been under a rock, come on out. She's the author of Unhealthy Truth, How Our Food is Making Us Sick and What We Can Do About It. She's also the founder and executive director of Allergy Kids Foundation. She's got a fabulous mission. She's in the news all the time helping educate us about food systems, food industry, and how we can make sure that more and more people are, you know, have access to clean and safe food. Hi, Robin.
How you doing?
I am good. And, you know, I'm looking forward to talking with you about what is going on with organic food. Let's just start with that.
that's a pretty loaded question.
It is, right?
There's a lot going on with organic food. And I grew up in Texas and never thought about it. I went to business school on a full scholarship, and I graduated as the top woman in my class, and I was recruited by the oil and gas industry. So,
yeah.
I mean, not a likely person to be talking about this at all. But when I went to work as an equity analyst, I was the only female on the team, and so the guys had me cover the food industry. So I started learning the business models of everybody from Walmart to Kroger to Safeway to Whole Foods and some of their competitors. And at the time, you know, I thought this whole organic food thing was just a marketing niche that they had carved out. You know, it really it appealed to a high-income category, you know, or it was sort of perceived as a hippie thing. It hadn't hit mainstream.
Right.
And so, you know, we analyzed it as a business model, and that was about as far as I took it. And then 15 years ago, my husband and I moved out to Colorado. And, you know, we landed in Boulder, which is truly the epicenter for the organic industry. And all of a sudden, you know, at first, my first reaction was, wow, these people have a lot of time on their hands to study all of this stuff, you know. But it really was a way of life. And the more that I really started to work with people that are really respected in the community, you know, not only people that had come out of the finance world like me, but I was meeting a lot of world-class athletes and triathlons, people that had trained for the Ironman, you know, and won it 6 times. And
wow.
A lot of these people were really using food as a fuel for their bodies.
Yep.
And, you know, they were doing it in a very scientific, very mathematical way, which was my background. So that spoke to me in a different way. It wasn't some emotional thing.
Right.
And so, you know, they were introducing me to different scientists who had introduced the first organic agriculture major. And really that was where a lot of the education started, this particular researcher out of Washington State University. And so, you know, I started looking at this. I thought, okay, so by law, organic food is produced without a whole bunch of artificial ingredients. So today, you know, you walk into the grocery store, any conventional grocery store, and you're likely to find a box of something that is just loaded with artificial ingredients.
Right.
And it just sort of somehow became the new normal. And yet organic food is food production without those artificial ingredients.
Right.
So things like artificial colors or artificial growth hormones or genetically engineered ingredients and all the synthetic pesticides that are poured on them. So
Right. All
of a sudden I'm like, well, this is just food.
Yeah.
You know, and in Europe or these other countries around the world, they labeled all this new stuff. They labeled the genetically engineered food. And here in the United States, we started labeling organic food when we started introducing all the artificial stuff. And so, you know, I kind of had this moment where I was like, this is totally backwards. You know, our grandmothers didn't use the term organic. They just called it food.
Right.
And so then, you know, as I was kind of navigating that and realizing that organic food meant that by law it was produced without all this artificial junk, then, you know, it kind of hit me on the next level, which was, why is this stuff so expensive? And it's so annoying that it's so expensive. You know, here I was, a mother of four. I'd come out of the South, you know, previously dismissed this. The last thing I wanted to try to figure out how to do was, like, rebalance the grocery budget, you know, with this kind of awakening that I was having. And so, you know, as I really started to look at why is organic food so expensive, again, I turned to the financials because, like, numbers tell their own story. It's not emotional.
Yeah.
And I learned that, you know, at the federal level in our government, as all of us pay in as taxpayers into our big national budget, you know, part of that is allocated to food as a national budget.
Well, there's that huge, you know, behemoth food bill mess.
Yeah, well, it's called the Farm Bill. And
Farm Bill, sorry, I meant that.
It would be better if it was called the Food Bill, because then I think people could relate to it a little bit better. But anyway, so this big Farm Bill, so what happens is we all pay in as taxpayers, and then those resources support the growing of food with all these artificial ingredients and synthetic pesticides and everything else. And then the farmers that are growing things without those artificial ingredients and without the chemical applications and, you know, that are choosing to grow organic, they're charged fees to prove that their crops are safe. They're then charged fees to label it, and then they don't receive marketing support the same way. They don't receive crop insurance programs the same way. So their entire cost of production is higher.
Yeah.
And yet we as taxpayers are supporting the opposite mode of production. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, if we were, like, when we were sending in our taxes, if you had a chance to check a box, this is how I want my food grown, to make which one more affordable, which one do you want to be more affordable? I think at this point, families would choose organic to be the more affordable option. And the reason I say that, again, is grounded in finance, because Wells Fargo recently issued a report, I think it was on Kroger's, And they basically, you know, were going through the shopping habits, and they were saying, you know, a Kroger shopper, Kroger, we're not talking about Whole Foods, we're talking about Kroger.
Right.
Kroger shopper, 70% of their shoppers are choosing an organic or natural product every time they're in the store. So they're looking for a product that is free from certain artificial ingredients. You can get into the whole kind of circular thing that natural doesn't have a definition, but you know, you walk into a Kroger and you're looking for products that have less junk in them.
Yeah.
70% of their
right, whether it's real or perceived, that's what people are looking for.
Right. And so, you know, as I thought about that again, I thought, you know, why haven't we allocated our national budget in a way that supports a 21st century family? And I'm a classic example where it's like, I didn't think about this stuff. Food was food. I figured if it was on the grocery store shelf, it was fine. It was safe. But then once you learn that that USDA organic symbol actually represents a legal seal, really by law, they're bound to not produce their food with all that artificial stuff. You know, again, it's, why have we priced certain demographics out of that? Because to me, clean and safe food is a fundamental human right, and it should be affordable to all Americans. And think about if it was.
Yeah.
Think about if we made clean and healthy food the more affordable option, what the health of our country would look like today. And I mean, it's mind-numbing when you rattle off those stats. This generation of kids has earned the title of Generation RX because of the rates of autism and food allergies and ADHD and diabetes and obesity. Pediatric cancer is now the leading cause of death by disease in kids under the age of 15, according to the CDC. You know, so it's like, it is. It makes you just want to shut down. But I think what is happening and why a company like Kroger can report a 70% number like that is because families know. And the reason we know is because we know that somebody we love has either been hit by cancer or food allergies or autism, and it wasn't like that 30 years ago.
No.
So where the model may have worked in the 20th century, it doesn't work today.
No. No, and it's sort of feels like there's more of a priority for corporate America to, you know, profits over people. It's not, if it were more profitable to be an organic farmer, in the farm bill, for instance, if there were subsidies going to organic farmers, you know, it would be a whole different story. And I had gone to a really interesting talk about the farm bill back in 2007 that Chef Michel Nishan, are you familiar with him?
Mm.
He runs an organization called Wholesome Wave, which is, you know, similar to your mission in terms of trying to get healthy, wholesome food into the hands of everybody, make it accessible to everybody. But he had done this whole thing about the farm bill, which, by the way, just still makes my head hurt. The whole thing is just this behemoth mess. But the chart showing the amount of organic, like, you know, you and I talk about it, we think about it, it's been in my consciousness for, you know, 30 years, but it's still a very, very tiny, and you probably know the statistic, percentage of the production of food.
Oh, I know. You know, you hear these, like, there's a lot of name-calling in the food industry, which is funny, I think, because, you know, here you have this industry that's really entrenched and refuses to label their products that are genetically engineered, but they're happy to slap a label on anybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people that probably get hit the hardest are some of the chairman and CEOs of some of these organic food companies, and they're often referred to as the organic elite. Well, organic only represents 4% of the food industry. Yeah. I don't know how you can be elite when you are only 4%. I mean, that is tiny.
Yeah.
But what is changing is that forecasts are that it's supposed to increase 12% a year for the next several years. And again, you know, as somebody who sat on the desk as an analyst, I thought if there were any other industry that were growing at that kind of a clip, 12% a year, people would be all over it. You know, that's a huge economic opportunity for our country.
Yes.
And right now what's happening is that because we haven't structured the food system financially in a way that makes organic affordable for everybody, the demand is getting so high that, for example, a company like Chipotle, who really has made a very visible commitment to clean food, they can't source enough supply here in the United States for things like animal feed, what they're feeding to their chickens, what they're feeding to their cows. And so they have to go overseas to countries like Romania and China to get non-genetically engineered livestock feed. And when I heard that, I'm like, that is crazy.
I've never heard that. And I'm wait, I just have to have a moment of like complete aghastness. You know, that's what?
Yeah, it's crazy. And so, you know, here they are outsourcing that opportunity to China and to Romania. I mean, that is money thrown out the door of our country. And I look at that and I think, why aren't we restructuring this now, today, for tomorrow? Because this is only going to continue to grow. And the reason it's growing is because our families are getting sick. And when I talk about it, I'm like, you know, nobody wants to have a kid with food allergies. And certainly nobody would choose, you know, autism or cancer or any of these conditions. But it is forcing a food awakening on us. And, you know, when our daughter was diagnosed with food allergies, all of a sudden I'm reading that label and I'm asking all these questions. What is this stuff? And what's it doing in combination? And how can I feed her cleaner food?
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't want to be dealing with food allergies for the rest of my life with her, but that's what I was handed. And it forced me to start reading those labels. And so people are coming at this because of all of these different conditions. And we're not trying to be a pain in the tail for the food industry. We are simply trying to protect the health of our families. And the companies that get that, that are just saying, you know what, we're not going to argue with you, consumer, you know, women who are representing 85% of the shoppers, we're not going to argue with you. Why? We're simply going to give the consumer what he or she wants. And the companies that are doing that, like Chipotle, like Kroger, you know, there's a big brand, White Wave, that owns a lot of the different, soy milk and cashew milk and almond milk and all these alternatives.
Yes.
Those stocks, those public companies have been the ones that have seen the most upside.
Well, and they should. And we should be rewarding these companies, praising them, buying their products and making our vote and our, you know, because it supporting them financially makes that whole system a little stronger, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I think then it also sends a message to companies like McDonald's or Kellogg's who really are suffering.
Yeah, thankfully.
I mean, General Mills just announced that they are going to close a cereal plant as part of a $40 million cost savings measure. You know, so the growth in the food industry is in the products that are free from genetically engineered ingredients, free from allergens. You know, the consumer is looking for free from food. It's the 21st century. And so if these brands that are kind of these iconic 20th century brands aren't willing to change with us, they really run the risk of becoming obsolete. And, you know, that just is what it is. It's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Somebody will step into it. And we're seeing these companies step into it. You know, you see a company like, there's a little company out of Boston called Unreal that has redone the candy bar, you know, and they just tried to make Snickers and Milky Way cleaner without all the artificial ingredients. And it's saying, you know what? We get that people still want a candy bar. We're not telling you have to drink green smoothies all day long, you know, but if you're going to have a candy bar, at least have a candy bar that's not jammed full of junk, you know.
Well, it's interesting, and I think there is a shift because now my kids, I didn't take them to McDonald's, you know, when they were young, and my oldest daughter's now 30, and I have two grandchildren, and, you know, they're really eating a very clean diet. They don't go to McDonald's, you know. And they call me Yaya, and I make veg juice every afternoon, most afternoons. And, you know, they try that. They love salad. And I feel good about that. But I know that I might be, you know, a little more unusual than the average person. But I think more and more of my daughter's friends are really conscientious. And
I truly believe this is one of the greatest civil rights issues of our times. It will be one of the greatest political issues of our times. You know, we're still, it's hard to see it, but we're still in the early stages of this movement.
Yeah.
And, you know, politics really start at the local level. And so you start to see it with guest speakers in schools. You see, you know, farmers markets that are just popping up everywhere. And so locally, people are engaging. They're starting to create this change. And the United States is so diverse, and, you know, you think about how many countries are packed into Europe. Well, we could be that many countries here in the United States.
Yep.
So it's not all going to move at the same time. And
right.
Being from Texas, you know, and now living in Colorado, those are not all going to move at the same time. But I really think to watch the movement locally is fascinating. And, you know, another example of that is the state labeling initiatives to label genetically engineered ingredients. You know, again, it's just complete radio silence out of the federal government.
Yep.
And the states are saying, you know what, we want the right to know. And if I were the CEO of a big food company, that would be a total nightmare to try to figure out all these different state labeling initiatives.
Well,
so it's forcing a national conversation.
Well, and I would like to think that the economics of moving towards a cleaner food system would be sustainable. And I know that there's sustainable models out there. I mean, we see them, and you mention them, and you mention companies like Chipotle and I think White Wave that are breaking through and finding success in this other model.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the more that we can shine a light on that, I mean, Annie's was a great example.
Yes.
And they were so successful that General Mills bought them,
yeah,
you know?
I know, right?
I mean, there are plenty of examples that are out there. There is a ton of venture capital money that's pouring into this right now, and not only into the companies, but they're trying to figure out the farmland, too.
Yeah.
And if you really just, you know, if you go totally unemotional on it and think about it just as this business model and as a sector, it represents enormous growth.
Yeah.
Not only to the sector, but really to our economy. And then what is incredible about that is that then it just has this boomerang effect back onto, you know, healthcare costs and everything else. So, you know, we talk about diet and nutrition until we're blue in the face, you know, but
right. It
is so fundamentally true that, you know, the food you put in is definitely going to impact a whole host of conditions in your health, you know? And so I think that to me, probably, again, getting back to the financials, is the fact that we have priced organic food at the national level in a way that makes it so expensive to most families. It's like we get hit twice.
Yeah. Because
then everybody gets smacked by the healthcare costs.
Right, exactly.
You know, the United States spends more on healthcare and disease management than any other country on the planet. 18 cents of every dollar that we spend in our economy is going towards healthcare and disease management. And you think about that, like think about a smarter, better allocation of that 18 cents. You know, think about it as innovation or technology or entrepreneurship.
Well, I really, you mentioned it before about having a little checkbox on my income tax form. I really wish I could be more direct and say, like, I don't mind sharing some of my taxes with, you know, with programs like this that would, you know, support whatever, education, blah, blah, blah. You know, I wish I had the ability to do that. And I guess in theory, I'm supposed to be able to vote for someone that will do that on my behalf. But it's just not happening.
Well, and it's still, you know, I think unfortunately, and here I had been totally schooled. I mean, business school, top of the class.
Right.
I was totally clueless. And
that
illiteracy is pervasive in our country. And if you, you know, unfortunately, most people don't even probably realize how that allocation process works and that part of their taxes are going towards this farm bill, you know? And
Right. Again,
it's how do we have this conversation? We need to have this conversation. It's our national dinner table. We need to have the conversation, which is why radio shows like yours are so important, because it does let us get the message out and begin to, you know, engage people. And you're right. I mean, it should be something that we are considering and voting on every election.
Well, I'm going to put this out there that I hope you will come on more regularly, not, you know, every week necessarily. Obviously, we're all very busy, but I would like to hear more. You're very good at helping us understand these things, and you're really in the trenches, on the front lines, you know, in that place between politics and corporations that not many of us really understand as fully as you do.
I'm learning the politics piece. I was just part of my first political campaign out here in Colorado to label genetically engineered ingredients. And
painful, right?
It's fascinating. I mean,
yeah.
It's fascinating,
yeah.
You know, and
it
I
is.
Think, you know, it speaks to how a lot of the systems that we've inherited from the 20th century aren't really working for families today. And you can either look at that as a total train wreck and a mess, or you can look at it as the landscape in front of us is wide open
and
it's a huge opportunity.
I think it's opportunity. And when the Farm Bill comes around again on the guitar, which is a couple more years from now, I know it's only every 5 years, please come back in enough advanced time that we can help educate ourselves and others about, you know, ways that they can get involved and push their legislators, right?
That sounds great.
Thank you so much again. And everybody, can I just mention your Twitter handle?
Yes.
Because I love it. It's Food Awakenings, right?
That's right.
I love that. I just want to say I love that. And I'm glad you had a food awakening and you're helping the rest of us wake up and understand what's going on and learn how we can get active. And how else can people find you?
You can find me at robinobrien.com. We also have allergykids.com for families with food allergies. and definitely reach out on Facebook as well.
Thank you so much, Robin, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Great. Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.